Hey, this is Dr. Drew, and you are listening to This Life
with Bob Forrest
and Dr. Drew.
Here we are.
Hey, welcome to another This Life with Dr. and Bob Forrest.
Bob Forrest, me.
Hey, man. So this could be kind of a heavy one. We are in the shadow of a profound event in France. It's got me very, very, very concerned and preoccupied.
Struck to my heart. It's rock and roll. I played this venue before. It's this thing.
The Bataclan?
You know, yeah. You're just sitting. Yeah. You're playing a concert. You're at a concert. You're buying a T-shirt. You're having some coffee. And then you're
machine
dead.
Guns. Yeah, it's just too much. Or just watching somebody get killed. How about that? That's almost as bad.
And then we got a 24-hour news cycle showing it over and over and over again.
And we're going to talk to a guy that is an expert in cults, because I think thinking about this as a cult is an interesting way to go about this. We're going to try to get in touch with your friend Dave, who is one of the band members. We'll tell you that story in a second. Before we get into that, again, a little business. Go to drdrew.com. You can click through to the This Life podcast there. You can also click through to the This Life podcast website. You can support this podcast so we can continue doing it by clicking through on the Amazon banner. It does not cost you a thing, but supports the podcast. So please do that at drdrew.com. You can email us there with questions that we will try to address on the show here. And a reminder that This Life podcast is available on iTunes. Anything else? Are you appearing anywhere?
Upcoming? No.
You've done your tour?
I was going to go to Europe, but I'm not now.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Not because of that. I just, that was the final straw, kind of. Yeah. But, I like playing music.
Wait, for people that don't know, what's the name of your new album?
I got a new album out called Survival Songs. It's on, you can get it everywhere.
Amazon.
And all that, yeah.
It's a very cool album.
Yeah, it's a raw...
It's a real album. You've been promoting, you've been performing.
Yeah. And I was supposed to go to Holland play, the only place on earth I'm really popular.
but Holland, Japan.
Because I tried to kill myself. Holland is my Japan.
Why?
Because that's where that Pink Pop show where I tried to kill myself.
What happened?
I was, Eddie Vedder had played the year before and got a lot of attention because he jumped on one of the TV cranes.
Yeah.
And like was up over the audience, maybe 40, 50 feet.
Okay.
So, and everyone's talking about it. Eddie's crazy and he went on this thing. So then I never want to be upstaged by Eddie Vedder. So I, climbed to the whole top of the entire stadium thing and was going to, I don't know what I was thinking. I was quite intoxicated.
But the documentary about you, the Bob and the Monster, that is in there.
So that was broadcast live, like a news thing. Cut in live, like
so
this guy's going to kill himself.
In
so that's where Holland's my
big in Japan.
My Japan.
So, but I thought I remember Japanese people coming to you and like kneeling down in front of you.
Oh
and stuff.
Yeah, that Los Encinas that came there. Yeah, that has a lot to do with Chili Peppers too, though. It's like a combo platter. Uh-huh. Like I'm tied to the hip with them. So yeah, the Chili Peppers are like the Beatles in Japan. You know that?
I didn't know that. So that's what that is.
Yeah. So Drew's referring to, we were working at Los Encinas one time, and I got called to the front office, and there were all these Japanese people that had come from Japan and couldn't believe that they could just go somewhere and ask for me and I would appear.
And they handed him his DVD and bowed down and were proselytizing themselves for Bob.
That guy still, and with social media, that guy still, messages me.
Wow.
Yeah,
that kid that came there. So first off, I wanted to say to you, the division in our country that is so hateful.
Yeah, where if you're from one side, you're bad. The other
anything
side,
you say is wrong because you're on the other side of my side.
The way I say it is there's nut jobs on both sides right now.
Mostly, they control the dialogue.
Thus, I'm a libertarian. Yeah. Thus, I'm out. I'm independent.
So that's what concerns me. Just concerns me tremendously.
Let me ask something. Wait, let me ask something. Did Hillary Clinton have a stroke? Like, remember that 3 or 4 years ago when they hospitalized her? And
oh, I don't know.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Was it a stroke?
Something to do with her heart, I think.
Maybe. Well, I heard
blood pressure.
No, it was a stroke. Something.
I'd heard in the public press that it was a stroke and she was on blood thinners, and I just did the math. I went, oh man, that's not good. And I talked about it the other day on a podcast I did with Anna Parola, and it being actively vilified. How dare you? What kind of ethical standards do you have? I'm just asking a question. So I can't. We can no longer have a conversation about fucking anything.
No,
without somebody attacking
I made
our
a comment
our
about Michael
speech.
Jackson, and I feared for my life. I thought that people were going to come to my house and kill me.
You know who said that was Kathy Griffin. We heard her stand up the other day, and Demi Lovato's, the Levites or whatever they are, Lovatomites, came after her and actively threatened to kill her because she made
you
fun of Demi.
Can't have a conversation anymore. And the reason why I'm concerned about when did this start, I believe it is related to terrorism. I believe the terrorists get what they want every time they do something like this. It divides people. The hatred grows.
But it unified us to begin with, if you remember. Remember how unifying it was? Everyone was pro-police,
pro-firemen.
Everybody
feels for the victims, and then we go back to hating the person who caused it.
It's Bush who caused it. It's this person who caused it.
Right,
the war.
Bush lapsed. No, Clinton wasn't on the thing, and he should have known. It's all the blame, all the hatred within our own society.
Jeez.
So I don't think we're going to be able to solve this problem because these people don't even want anything. Oh, Bin Laden was like a politician compared to this. They just want to kill people.
I read a thing today where they were saying that he was very satisfied with he would be satisfied with the way things are going now. This is sort of how he wanted it to go.
The ambassador Bin Laden.
The way it's going now is about right.
But these kids are born and raised in France.
Some of them.
Born and raised in France.
Yeah.
So. And Timothy McVeigh was born and raised in the United States. What is going on that makes these people who feel so disenfranchised and so vulnerable to things they don't even understand?
Can we get my guest on, Susan? I think it's time. We're getting into this very fast.
Hoyt. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, here's what I was thinking. It's funny you would raise it with that kind of
clarity.
Because
it's trauma.
I didn't know. Yes, it is trauma. But I didn't know you were going to go to this the way you did. I was thinking about this, too, and I thought, man, this is awfully similar to a cult. This is cult behavior. And I've interviewed kids and read interviews with kids that have been inside these things, and they're high as shit. Not on drugs, on being
on religion,
they're in an altered state the entire time. They're so agitated. They're like in a manic state. As one kid was saying, it's hard to describe what it's like when you go. You're in this state, this where it's all, you know, every man. It's a cult.
It's actually human. This is another idea. So the reason why I'm saying trauma all the way around, trauma within the countries who should be trying to deal with the situation. There's division and hatred within France, within the United States.
Wait, do you see that they're right now, I think.
From trauma.
Hoyt, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
man.
Thanks for joining us.
How are you?
I've just explained to Bob, and you see, Hoyt, if you agree with me on this. Bob was asking a question about, you know, what is it that these kids are getting out of being in, say, ISIS and these hyper-religious organizations. And I said, you know, I'd been thinking about it for a while, and that's why I wanted to talk to you, Hoyt. It's cult behavior, right?
It's textbook cult behavior, and it's one of the things, you know, our mutual friend Steve Hassan taught me a lot about.
Well, hold on. Let's describe who Bob. Welcome to meet Hoyt.
There you go.
Describe who you are, Hoyt, to Bob.
Hi, Bob. My name's Hoyt Richards. I was a fashion model for 15 years, and then I've started acting and then writing, directing, and producing independent films, and I now also actually sell and distribute them as well. So I kind of went from fashion into the Hollywood scene. But the whole time that I was a fashion model, I was also in a cult. So it was about 15 years of my life. I was completely brainwashed. I didn't see my parents for about 12 years, and eventually escaped right around the millennium, and went through a very fortunately aggressive recovery process. And now I actually work with families to help them get their kids out of cults whenever I can and assist in that community to help educate people that it can happen, the people like you and me. And as long as you think, as I did originally, that it can't happen to someone like myself, and therefore the fact that I was in this group, it couldn't be a cult because I would never join a cult. Well, that's not what happened. So,
So how is this world situation sort of classic human cult behavior?
Well, the whole thing is... What I say to people, if you don't really have a game plan in life, and you come across someone who's very enthusiastic about their game plan, and in any way resonates with you, you know, that's very appealing compared to your no plan.
And interestingly, Bob and I have discussed this all the time, that so many young people today are purposeless. Yeah, they're drifting.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, it's a situation of where if you really don't know what you want to do with your life, and you're kind of asking questions on that level, whether you want to call them just life questions or spiritual questions, and you come across anyone who, from your point of view, seem to be providing answers to those questions, you know, in a healthy relationship. Like, say you and I were talking right now, and I said something that you kind of experienced as an epiphany of sorts. And you said, oh, my God, that's incredible. You know, I never thought of it that way. And I would usually, in a healthy relationship, I'd say, well, I read it in this book, or I had a teacher who taught me that. On some level, I kind of relieved the debt, because that's what we, or like in the case of Drew, you know, it's like, I'm your therapist. That's what you pay me for. You relieve the person of the debt. But in the unhealthy relationship, it's like, well, listen, you know, if you need to know anything else, I'm here. You know, you can come back anytime. And you start that position of control.
Is that interesting?
Yeah, no, that's what's happening. We have a mass of 20-somethings in the United States that have no purpose as far as I can assess. And well, so you have a highly susceptible population of young people who can't find jobs, disenfranchised, don't have their parents'
values. Let me play devil's advocate, Hoyt. How is any military not a cult?
Well, I'll put it this way. The things that really demand, you know, that what I would qualify a cult is when you start to add in money, because usually money is involved, you know. So the military is not asking for your money, per se. And the other thing is, I would certainly say there are aspects of the military that are cultic. But as far as the overall thing of like you basically, in order to create a soldier, you need to reframe them in the same way that you do, you know, from a certain point of view, the brainwashing in a cult.
Yeah.
But they, you know, to me, they differ in the fact that ultimately, you know, even though you start as a foot soldier, you have an opportunity to move up in a certain degree of where you can develop independence, and they actually want you to become critically, you know, critical thinking.
Right. Aren't most cults, though, religious oriented?
No, not at all. No, they can be a Bible, you know, they can be a Bible group. They can be a self-help group. They can be
finance group.
Those are all spiritual, religious seeking.
No, they can be one.
Was Tony Robbins, is that a cult?
Which one?
Tony Robbins and all his abundance nonsense.
You know, I haven't heard per se, and I don't know the research of Tony Robbins. I haven't heard that per se as being one. So I can't.
But there's lots of things with parts of cultic kind of stuff. There are many, many other different kinds. And religion is a common feature, but it's not a necessary feature.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It can even be a company, like some of the, you know, some of these companies, these multi-level companies, they run the completely cultic system, you know?
Yeah. So Bob was asking the question, what can we do? What do we do with this, where these people really, you know, they're so wrapped up in the cult of their ISIS program that killing a bunch of people is sort of no big deal to them. Killing themselves is no big deal to them.
Well, yeah, you know, the thing that's, you know, I think the only way you can do anything is to educate people, in the sense, if we could actually teach critical thinking at the school level, at, you know, the teenage years, you know, whether it be 12 to 14, where you basically kind of, like, you take Dr. Cialdini's book, you know, his book on influence, you know, and you basically teach the basic tools of how salesmen work, so that you're aware of how we can get manipulated just by unconsciously having certain shortcuts that we kind of make decisions by, that we can get manipulated by. So I think if you actually were able to teach teenagers at the time that even something as simple as feeling good too fast can be dangerous, you would prevent a lot of these things to be able to.
But what do we do with these people that may not be in this country that are involved with these organizations like ISIS? Is there anything to be done? Is there any counter propaganda that can be offered?
Just prevent the next one. So I don't think you can stop what's going on.
Well, that's a question, though.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very hard, because I don't know the details of how they get indoctrinated and how it works.
Hundreds of hours of personal conversation.
Right.
Well, so that's how it starts.
Well, exactly. And the thing is that, let's face it, we're all attention junkies. You know, it's like we for the most part, any of us growing up, you know, all the things you never heard enough from your parents, we're very susceptible to someone saying that we're special, we're unique, that we have great potential. All those things are are kind of healing to someone who feels they maybe didn't hear it enough in their upbringing. And those are the most common entry techniques that any cultic group uses. The fact that they're finally seeing you on some level. Now, obviously,
as an individual at 16, 18, 20 years old.
Right, exactly. And of course, you know, obviously the people who are indoctrinating them are not putting on the bombs and heading into the field. And of course, you know, but at that point, you're not thinking critically and you're just, you know, you're the loyal foot soldier.
That's a critical part. Let's get to that part.
Which part?
Okay, so the people indoctrinating these kids via the internet are not the ones going and blowing themselves up. And the kids don't have enough critical thinking to go, hey, wait a minute.
Right.
How come you're not blowing yourself up?
Or what's the link? How does
that? If we could touch on that.
Yeah. I mean, that I think that was the same thing when 9/11 happened. The first reaction I had was you really can't per se say the people who are in the planes, they're not the problem. The people who brainwash them into thinking that's what they needed to do, they're the problem. And they're not the ones in the plane.
Yeah.
You know, these are the loyal foot soldiers that are carrying out the cause. But they're being completely manipulated, and like I said, they're not the ones whose lives are going to suffer and take down the carnage with them.
So help me understand now. So say I know a kid who's getting involved in this, and I'm scared it's going to do a violent act.
Right.
When you were in your cult, if somebody attacked what you were in, how did you feel? You feel defensive of it?
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is.
So you can't attack Islam. You can't attack even jihadi movements. You've got to come from another angle.
And this is where I would reference the work that Steve Hassan has done, which is so great, because the normal approach would be like what you would think, in the sense that you could speak to them intellectually and start to blow holes in the philosophy.
So talk some sense into them.
Yeah. And it won't work, right?
And that's so counterproductive, because the tie is emotional. For the most part, it certainly wasn't my case.
Yeah.
So if I would say most, in the sense like ISIS members or like in my case, cult member, you know, it's you're given certain unrealistic expectations of what you're, how you're supposed to study the scripture and all these sort of things. And to be honest, most of your average cult members like myself weren't great at that part. You know, it's like you're given this exhaustive amount of research you're supposed to be doing all the time. And it's just not humanly possible to do that. So when someone's attacking that group and what they stand for, usually they're exposing the fact that you, on some level, you're not processing it like this, but you know that you've been a bad cult member and you can't defend it because you don't know the material well enough to defend
interesting.
It. And therefore, you just want to kill the messenger rather than hear the message. You know?
Interesting. So one way to say it to them would be like, listen, I love you and I care about you and I'm worried for you. Is that a way that would help?
Well, what Steve really preaches, which is I think a very dynamic approach, is you try to build bridges rather than break them. So what you're trying to do is find an entry point to say, well, I'm very curious about what you're doing. You know, basically you're saying that possibly you would be interested. You want to know more, so you can possibly get involved to the level of meeting some of the players, so that when you're actually speaking about them in the way to try to help the person out of it, you've actually had some interaction with some of the players.
So there you go. You know what he's saying in this instance is you need moderate Muslims or sane followers of Islam to talk to these kids. It can't come from America or France or a Christian side of the argument.
That's very, and then obviously people who have left, the ex-members are incredibly influential.
Well, there's an organization in England called William, have you heard of this? Of an ex-jihadi who's running a, very similar to what you're doing, but with jihadists. And he was on for Zakari. It was very interesting.
Right. Because yeah, that, I mean, if you saw the Scientology documentary, why that was so effective, I think, in the way that it dealt with the issue around, you know, that and all the problems they have with that group, is you had ex-members who are very high up in the inner circle and actually know what goes on. So you're not getting the kind of wannabes on the periphery that got kicked out for whatever reason you may want to kind of disallow what they have to say. These are people in the inner circle knowing the machinations and operations firsthand, and that's what makes that dissertation that they did as far as what goes on much more valuable to everyone than someone who's just on the periphery.
Well, Hoyt, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. This is very interesting material, and I may yet call upon you again for other commentary as we go along here.
Thank you so much.
It's an interesting construct, all this, and at least maybe we can all kind of learn something and what we need to do.
Well, thanks for having me on, Drew, and nice to meet you too, Bob. It's something that I think the only way we fight it is through education and awareness and exposure. And you know, right now the common approach, which is the one I had, is, well, I don't have to worry about someone like me getting involved with something like that. Therefore, I don't have to worry about that ever happening because it doesn't happen to someone like me. And that's what makes you vulnerable.
Well, and I think based on the way you describe the vulnerable population, we need to be very concerned about a lot of people.
I'm very concerned.
Getting involved. So, all right, Hoyt, thanks so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. You guys have a great day.
All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
I got to talk about this. You can go to a concert now and be slaughtered.
Yeah, well, that's what we've been discussing. It's just sick. But describe the story. Describe your relationship.
So it was my friend's band.
I know Jesse very well too. You've been on Loveline many times, and this was the Eagles of Death Metal.
Yeah,
good group of guys. Lindsay Lohan's boyfriend's in it, isn't she?
Yeah, Eden.
Yeah, and then your friend
Dave Catchings.
And so you talked to Dave after this whole disaster.
Yeah, via the texting, and it was really hard. But he had disappeared for 3 or 4 hours, and the drummer was in contact with his wife, and we were all just crazy.
Oh my God!
Like, it was crazy for 5 hours until Dave finally got out of the theater. Here's what I know: they were playing. Jesse, I think, spotted it first and just took off. You see AK-47s and you see people's bodies falling. You run.
He flew off the stage.
Yeah. Then Eden, but Dave was like rocking out and didn't see.
Oh, Jesus.
And all of a sudden he stops playing and looking around. And by that time, the crowd is running forward away from the shooters, blocking all the exits. So then Dave doesn't know what to do and runs and hides in the bathroom for 3 hours with other people hiding in there.
Ugh.
And they can hear the grenades going off, the gunshots, the screaming, and you just don't know what's happening for 3 hours.
Can you imagine? The thing went on for 15 minutes, in fact, right?
I know, but they were holding hostages or something, and still the details haven't come out completely.
Yeah.
Frightening.
Ugh.
No demands, just... This is an organization that just wants to kill people, and that we've never seen anything like that. And I know it is a result of trauma. I know
that these participants were traumatized.
They feel hopeless, helpless, lost. Their minds are shattered.
Yeah.
And then they believe in some weird 7th century thing
that
I don't even think they fully comprehend.
Well, it's funny. There's an article that I just read today. A novelist.
These were French kids.
Went in and interviewed ISIS members in prison, and he was sort of he found that they had very limited understanding of Islam, that they were indoctrinated much like in the cult, just by what he was just telling us, and they just became these foot soldiers.
Well, also the guy that cuts people's heads off.
Yeah.
There's another interesting component to this. He was a rapper. He's in from London. Rap music seems to be a thing that they get into at 12, 13, 14. The celebration of violence combined with this disenfranchised, racist society we live in, marginalized employment opportunities, and somebody who's been traumatized or beaten or abused or neglected in childhood.
So
you got a perfect storm, and we've got 2 million of them here in the United States.
Oh, at least.
Susceptible to something like this.
You think just 2 million?
If Americans think this isn't going to happen here, it's not going to happen where Bin Laden's going to fly over here or somebody like him. It's going to come from within. Timothy McVeigh was born and raised in the Midwest.
But he wasn't. Yeah, he was the same thing you're describing.
Waco is the thing that they unified about.
Really?
Yeah. He was at Waco.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't understand
outside,
that.
You know, that standoff went on for weeks.
Yeah, right.
So there's footage of Timothy McVeigh at Waco. He drove down there because he had nothing to do with his life. He had no purpose. He got indoctrinated by these psychopaths, these hateful hate groups in the United States that we tolerate because we're America. I get it. Here's my new question for people. What do you love about America? You ask 20-somethings. You don't really know.
Right.
there's just something about America that's magical that's gotten lost, and the people who live here don't even know about it anymore.
Well, that what I love is that the principles upon which it was founded, and those are under attack, and they don't matter, and they're all relative, and
the people
really
who live here don't even want to honor them.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't want me to be able to say fuck Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
When I said, fuck Michael Jackson, I don't care about him. He's not the second coming of Jesus Christ because he died of a drug overdose. People wanted to kill me.
I know.
Kill me. America's founded on my ability to say, fuck Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, not now I like him better. but when he died, I got very angry.
Yeah.
You know, like this beatification of him, this deification of him. I mean, he was a troubled soul.
Very sick guy, yeah. Who was, by the way, ill-served by my profession. Did not get proper treatment.
Who I think was abused himself, and then I believe became a perpetrator of abuse.
Who?
Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. We'll see.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
You got enough money around, you know, spread it around, you'll never know anything.
Yeah.
But that kind of freedom of press, freedom of speech, that somebody as crazy as me can be born and raised and created in this kind of amazing open society where, yeah, there can be hate groups and Nazisms and we all just don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
That is under attack.
Yeah.
And the people within our society don't even understand what's great about our society. That's frightening.
No, like I said,
that's frightening to me.
I don't think you heard me, but I was saying it's like asking a fish, how's the water? and official goes, what's water? It's like, right?
Yeah.
They're too. It's too familiar. It's too taken for granted. It's not understood. And you know.
And so, one of the things that was important in my growing up was find a purpose.
Right.
You know, and I don't think my dad. I mean, he passed away. You know, really before my adulthood. But I know the things he impressed upon me were: I don't care if you dig a ditch. I would prefer that you went to college and became a lawyer or a doctor.
But understand.
But I don't care if you dig a ditch. You need to find a purpose.
But you understand, if you dig a ditch, you're, how dare you? I don't dig ditches. It's me. You know what I mean? Or if I do dig a ditch, it's because, well, I'm going to have an internet show. Whatever. You know, people just still want
to
be.
But in my dad's world, it was okay to go that route.
Of course.
A hard work.
Is get a job.
As long as you get married, have kids, take
care
of
your family. No, manual
labor
was quite well thought of.
Yeah, and it's just so weird that's beneath people.
Yeah.
Then they complain that that people migrate from this into this country to go do those jobs that nobody wants to do. Then we hate them because they are taking our jobs away. We are madness as a society, Drew.
Yeah.
Madness. And so now I think I believe our way of life is going to be changed if this doesn't get dealt with.
So what are you recommending?
A lot of the stuff this guy said is great. We can't go out of ideology. You can't argue that it doesn't make any sense to be born.
It's critical thinking is what he said.
Yeah.
And that's education. And people don't want education even anymore. We need it's the basics. Family, education, purpose, right?
Okay, so
it sounds easy to say that.
Can I prognosticate with the highly susceptible easily influenced society that has no purpose of young people in this country that I interact with all the time?
Yeah.
We have fertile soil.
Yeah.
For many bad things to happen.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
What that guy described, a lot of my kids that are in drug treatment need that. They need a purpose. They need something to get excited about.
Unfortunately, they may find something problematic, right?
I don't want to sound too alarmed, but I when I realized that these kids who did this in Paris were Parisians, born and raised in Paris.
Not all, but some, yeah.
Yeah. At least half.
Well, England's having this problem too, right?
Yeah, but they seem to be having a better lid on it.
I don't know.
Anyways, so that's my concern, and what do we do?
Well, then, so the young people are usually who you look to help solve your problems, right? They're the next generation. What do you think about what's going on college campuses? So on college campuses, kids are just demanding things. And it's all around. And they want to reprogram everybody. And they want to make sure that no one has an opportunity to speak. God forbid, if there's any, if you emit,
there's a fascism to political correctness for sure.
Oh my God, it's a new McCarthyism, right?
Yeah,
yeah. And so
I didn't use the word trans correctly,
right?
I got corrected by a 20-year-old.
Yeah, and Alan Dershowitz said it's a new fascism. He said fascism got started on college campuses. That's how it got going. Books burned first on college campuses
in the 30s.
Mm-hmm. And so your free speech is under attack. You have difficulty communicating and sharing ideas and having dialogue or dialectic. There's no dialectic. There's just
no listening.
Yeah, there's just fury. I just don't know where it's going. It's what I keep asking. I'm all for progressivism.
I know you. I know. So let's get your take on Donald Trump. Yeah. I find him fascinating. I find it fascinating that people believe in him.
Yeah, I'm fascinated.
I'm fascinated.
Yeah, me too.
Him.
All
my liberal friends are like, fuck him, fuck him. I'm like, well, before we fuck him, can we figure out what his appeal is?
Right. And they people are angry.
Because it's obvious that he's not the brightest, best and the brightest in the world.
Yeah.
But why is he so appealing?
Because
hate is more appealing than love. Is that one thing that you would think?
No, it's the being able to speak his mind without feeling guilty or being reproached.
So that's appealing to white middle class.
I hear that a lot. No.
Who's it appealing to?
All kinds of middle class. I talk to lots of black and brown people. Lots of them.
And they like that he's a straight shooter.
They like that he... I'm angry.
Didn't they like Ross Perot for the same reason?
I don't know. I don't ask that question. But I'm angry. Here's what I hear. I'm angry. A lot of anger. I'm angry. He says he's able to say whatever he wants.
What is everybody so angry about?
That's a great question. I think...
Because I live pretty great. I'm not angry about that.
I think we're used to a certain amount of dynamism in our economy where things are exciting and things have been sort of flat. They've been fine, but they've been flat. And I think people miss the ups and downs a little bit. I really do. I think that's kind of what they don't see opportunity. They don't see, you know, because it's
there
just
been
sort of,
opportunity in this country for 40 years.
Well,
really?
It's not felt
not for
like
the
it.
Masses
it's
like there was in the
but
50s
it,
or
but
40s.
When there's massive things going on, it feels like it. And it's, I don't know. I don't know what the anger is, but... and sort of they feel left behind by this government. This government did a lot for people who were really shit out of luck, right?
Yeah.
But the middle, not so much. And
but I'm in the middle and I'm fine. Everything's pretty cool. I mean, I wish I could complain a lot. I wish things in this area were better. I think wish things in that are better. But I'm not hateful of America. Or
no, that's not what I'm hearing. That's not what I'm hearing.
Oh,
not
I hear a lot of hate towards America. Because America, Obama and America. Why is it that, you know, and I guess I fell into this category about Bush too. Why is it that you can say in this country, that's not my president. He's not my president. That I heard that a lot in the last 15 years from the left during Bush.
You didn't elect him. You didn't put him in. You're part of it.
But it's America. That's the way it goes.
Yeah, I know. But they peacefully accept that, but they don't say that I wouldn't have put that guy in. That's a reasonable thing to say.
It depends on what you mean by peacefully. I think they're all too wimpy to take up arms. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So we were talking about... the band, and you actually now have heard from Dave. He's landed.
Yeah, they landed, and I think they're driving to Joshua Tree now, and I'm waiting to hear back.
And
glad they're safe. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Yeah. You've offered them all treatment.
Yes.
For trauma treatment.
Yeah. And I want to know what that's going to look like.
Well,
it depends on how it affected them.
Yeah.
Two are sober guys.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Right?
So that already means they're sensitive. You know what I mean?
Oh, shit.
Right? Addicts are sensitive.
Are the pot smokers better off?
Well, you know what the funny thing about addicts is they get off on being in these intense environments, but they're also very sensitive people.
This is about as intense as something can get.
Yeah. So listen. So here's the deal that everyone gets something called an acute stress reaction, which is, you know, having been in a traumatic situation, you are going to be irritable, jittery, have trouble sleeping, have, you know,
lose track of time and space.
Can you
imagine this happened on
happened
on Friday and they're already back home in LA.
Right. So how do you prevent this normal acute stress reaction from devolving into a post-traumatic stress disorder? That's really what's at hand, is helping them process their feelings, because the human brain can't handle being faced with not going on being. that's when we shatter our regulatory systems. We just go, poof, we just can't handle it. Mm-hmm. Now, not being threatened for 3 hours adds to what's flooding the brain for an extended period of time, adds to the complications, the mood problems, the irritability, the anxiety, all that stuff. And so, you know, one thing is to get them evaluated to make sure they don't need literally some medication to help with that, because the brain just, the fuses blow at a certain point, number one. Number two, getting back in touch with the feelings of helplessness, the feelings of inadequacy, that you couldn't save people, all kinds of crazy feelings people get in situations like that. And you need somebody sitting with them. And
it's much like war then, I would imagine.
Well, yeah. But, you know, repeating over and over again that it's okay, you couldn't, this here, let's, trying to get them to reframe what's real, because it feels so unreal. And the feelings are so unreal that you got to go look at, you know, the reality of the situation. You know, you couldn't have done anything. There wasn't more to be done. Yes, you made certain choices, but you're a human being in extreme dire threat. Mm-hmm. And then what you saw, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with your feelings about what you saw? I mean, this is heavy stuff. And then there's kind of an art to it too. And like, in what order do people get into that stuff, and how deep do they get into it, or how much do they just help somebody just kind of put it away? It's, you know, this is, each individual is going to have to go through those kinds of experiences where those decisions are made with their therapist.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. It's no bueno. C'est pas bien.
Well, the reason why I ask is because I think we're going to need a lot of this.
All of us?
A lot of this.
For all.
I think more of this is going to happen. I don't see how it does not happen with the susceptible youth you have across the world. This purposeful message of saving a religion. It's epic. This
right,
is crazy.
It's underway, yeah.
And
you don't see it just settling down spontaneously, right?
Yeah, my original thought was we need to wipe out ISIS, but I've thought over the last 48 hours it's not going to do anything. This is, well, yeah.
I like the way Susan thinks. I just, she has such
we need
clarity.
To wipe
she's
out
like, no,
ISIS.
No, those guys need to go.
But do you not make them martyrs?
I don't know the answer. There are people far smarter than I am, far more.
And you know why I care? Because I think we've caused this.
Well, I only know what I read, and there are suggestions that, you know, that it's the law of unintended consequences, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get rid of one bad thing, you get another, and
my two ideas about people is their natures are good, you know, and the religion tends to focus that the true natures of man are bad. So I think it's truly good. I think people feel disempowered, and I think that our invasion of and our coming to the Middle East was hope for millions and millions and millions of people, and the catastrophic catastrophe and chaos that it's broken into
has
taken away hope from millions of people.
Maybe.
And that's our responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got to do something to try to make it right. Because, you know, and then another part of me goes, I live in Hollywood. Who gives a fuck?
Well, you missed our whole thing about trauma.
You know what I mean?
And how it's treated. So you've missed that now. But the... What would you say?
I'll probably hear it later.
Yeah, probably. And what would you say if it was 1932 and the Nazis were coming in? And would you say, well, what do you expect? There was that horrible treaty, and we've been, you know.
Yeah, no, I follow history, not as much as you, but I would say the King of England making them suck as you know what. Is what caused
right. But
this.
Okay, now what?
So England has a responsibility
okay,
in solving it.
Now what?
Now
Nazis
need,
in.
Now
cat's
need,
out of the bag.
Now we need to deal with it.
They want to take over.
If you want to be the cops of the world or the universe of the universe.
Well, on
you know,
they go into
the
Poland. On
the
they
universe.
Go into Czech Republic. On they go. What are you going to do? Well, we caused it.
It's not a direct, absolute.
No, but you understand crazy the thing, the situation is, the decisions that have to be made, and then the solutions are so opaque. It's easy to say we caused it. Okay, now what? I just heard somebody say today, Waters.
Well, we didn't totally cause it.
Derek Waters said something that
imperialism has caused it. These countries we made up, the England made it up and said, okay, Sunni and Shia just be in one same place and we're going to call it this. Is that not correct, Drew, in your
history? That is correct.
So how does a country get the idea that it can just make lines and go, that's the country?
That's colonialism, right? Empire, yeah. Empire. Yeah, many, many bad examples.
And now it's in our lap.
Yeah. So really it's the, what? That would have been the, the French and the British, they caused the whole thing. So here we go. So you
don't think we have any
no
responsibility?
No, here? I think we have massive responsibility. But so what? Derek Waters said this to me, to the guy that's the creator of Drunk History. He goes, hey, it's not about what happened. It's about what's happening.
Oh, I know.
Right? And so let's use the Nazi model. Okay, you screwed them over after the First World War. You were somewhere angry with them for having that war. You suppressed and you punished these people to the point that this is their response. They become Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And now they moved into Poland. And now they moved into the Czech Republic.
Okay, we're...
Now what? Just are we gonna blame ourselves? We shouldn't have done that.
We need to take responsibility for this.
Our responsibility. Our spot with England. Now what?
What Susan said. Let's go take care of them.
That's right. That's right. The only thing. That's the unfortunate thing.
France has so many.
France is bombing the shit out of them right now.
They have so many Arabs in France. It's just such. It's
such.
This
isn't even. This is not Arab. This is
the ISIS. I mean, they're all kind of infiltrating into certain countries.
I think.
It's not like the Nazis marching in.
I know. It's different. Saudi Arabia is going to have got some explaining to do.
They could be in California. Terrorism.
They are here
on a different level.
Yeah, they are here. The army that conquered Europe under Napoleon was 100,000 strong. There's many more jihadists than that.
Yeah.
Many more.
And people are following, the young people are following because they think they're kind of a powerful thing to be a part of.
The cult thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so you don't think it's, you're a big studier of history, and that's why I wanted to come over today, too.
He's a big studier of history.
He really is. He's a wealth of knowledge. So
I
want to know,
other
than Genghis Khan, has there been this kind of barbarism? Not in the modern era.
I think I no one really knows what happened to Rome, but my deep suspicion is something like this happened.
Repeatedly this.
Something like this.
Yeah, because
there was no
leader to follow.
No, there was. It was not as though the hordes came pouring into Rome. It's that they welcomed in all types, all kinds, and they were a pluralistic society. And eventually, some parts turned on it and took over. Yeah, and that was about religion too.
All they know is a band was playing a concert, and a few minutes later, 120 people were dead.
I'm going to predict based on what's coming.
Children.
I hate to say this. But this one's probably going to look, we'll probably forget about this one day soon.
I guess because my friend's
band,
I've played that concert hall. There's something about it that so touches home for me that like you just don't think, hey, we're the punk rockers. You know, come on now.
Yeah.
This is pretty crazy.
I think because so much more might happen, we might even, this might be like, in, you know what I mean? We forget about this.
Well,
compared to what might
there
happen.
Was a bombing in Beirut recently as well.
Yeah, yeah, and then plane down in Russia. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
They're everywhere. They're taking over.
Well, they're not taking over. They're just mobilizing.
They're doing what they can because it works, because it terrorizes us.
Well, they're moving up into Northern
Europe. And I have the same question that I ask college kids right now, which is, what's the plan? What is the end game here, everybody? Where are we going? Do you want to shut down your schools? Do you want to end the United States and have something else come in? Although it's a free-willing conversation, I don't claim to have answers. I don't know. We're just trying to get our head around this. We're just contemplative, just trying to understand it better. I think it's interesting to have looked at it as a cult phenomenon. Hoyt is a great source of information.
Yeah,
it
definitely
that.
Is.
We'll put his information up on...
Did people not think it's a cult phenomenon?
Website. I think because it's religion and military, they don't want to put their heads there. They don't want to, you know, that's not a cult. A cult is, but no, whatever.
The cult aspect that I've always known for the last 2 years is these are kids born of the soil of the countries they're attacking.
And
that is a cult-like thing. That's a recruiting. That's an indoctrination into ideas they don't even understand.
Yeah. We just want to understand. I feel bad getting so sort of negative and I know it just, I want to be able to understand this, and that's why we're talking about it. Thank you to buddy Dave. Thank you to Hoyt for giving us information about cults. And until next time, we'll see you.
Well, heroin, oh, heroin, and cocaine, and cocaine, I love them both, yeah.